up top. We're going up top. All the other formations, they surely have to stop. We're going up top. We're going up top. Jamie and Jordan, the bullshit never stops.
This week's episode and every week's episode is once again sponsored by McMillers. Moving for you, Dublin's number one most trusted moving service. If you need a reliable mover in Dublin, their top rated team delivers high quality results that saves time, energy and money. You can contact them for a day today for, on a quote from mcmovers.eu is their website, and Emma and the lads will look after you well for any personal or commercial use. So once again, thanks, and it's mcmovers.eu. And a very big welcome back to this week's episode of One Up Top. After a couple of week hiatus, a loss, two back-to-back wins in the Dublin Derby, Bohemians are back in second position and once again leaving us in a bit of a whirlwind of emotions once more leading into July. I am delighted to be joined ever presently this week by Peter Tinna. Pete, how are you getting on after those two wins and more importantly coming up next week?
Yeah, all is good. A great week in Bohemian World last week. Two very much needed derby wins. Two very different type of wins. I think the Shells game, we were the far better side. We blew them away. Whereas Pats, we had to dig in, which was great to see as well. But between that and the European build up and the European hype, it's all systems go at the moment on Planet Bohemian. See how long that lasts for, mind you. But at the moment, we're in a good place. We're in a good spot.
Yeah, it's a bizarre world we live in where it's just like we're constantly just fighting against ourselves nearly at times. You know, you think you have a bit of leeway, you think you're going somewhere, and all of a sudden you're back in your arse and you're looking over your shoulder once more. But I'm not gonna say there's a tide being torn because look, we're just consistently inconsistent at the minute. So I think there's still a few more, you know, ups and downs as it always is. It's never straightforward for Bowers, but I think we're in a lot better place than we were, you know, 10, 12, 12 days ago after those two defeats against Dundalk and Derry. Touch on probably the Shells game, you said we blew them away, and even the Pats game, what I thought most about everything was that we looked like a team who wanted to defend for the first time since those first games. It was a team that, you know, you could see they had the bit between their teeth to defend. They wanted to fucking win every ball they could in that back line. It's something we haven't probably seen since those first set of fixtures where we went unbeaten and had those seven clean sheets in 9 games. So hopefully now this is just a bit that clicks it all together. And probably some person who went a bit under the radar and actually returned to the team probably for those two games was young Senna Mullen.
Yeah, it's been fantastic. Do you want to kick off with the Shells game first of all? Or...
Yeah, go walk away in the Shells.
Yeah, the Shells game was amazing. Like on the back of the Dundalk performance, I think everyone was shocked at how we played down there. But it's almost as if we had to be shamed into that Shells performance. But although we were fantastic on the night, they were very, very, very disappointed. They were very, well, not disappointed. It's glorious to see them perform like that. But I don't think they offered up much resistance at all. And you'll never, ever get another derby win as easy as that down in Talca Park, you know, because it was just, you just didn't get that sense of feeling where you get with Bosel at the time where there's a sucker punch coming. It was comfortable, comfortable, comfortable. I know they did this allowed goal to start of the second half, but other than that, it was cruise control. And even the second third goal going in, it was glorious. A great night, and it set us up for Pat's lovely on the Friday.
Yeah, it's one of those when you went to Pat's on Friday, they're in good form. You're kind of thinking they've clicked recently. Are they going to push Rovers now a little bit more? And they were really unimpressive. They were probably, I wouldn't say they were as bad as us, an inch of core this season. They probably weren't a million miles off it, but it was a bit of the flip of watching Boston Dock the week before, the team with 10 men. Like, they never really looked like threatening. There was no time after Higgy got sent off where I thought, right, we're under the cosh here. We're holding on for dear life. There was no real, thank God for that moment in the second half even. It was relatively easy for what it was worth in terms of the 10 men display. But, you know, again, it's just that bit between the teeth, the vacuum players wanting to win their headers. And I think
I think Pat's probably created more with 11 men on the pitch. I think for the XG Fiends, I think their second half XG was 0.37 or 0.47 or something minuscule like that. When we demand sent off, Field the worst. I just think the one player or the one team you don't want to be against 10 men against is Pats, because they can move the ball quickly, and Levy was creating his problems in the first half. But again, I was never overly worried. Watching the game, I didn't think it was coming. I didn't think they were banging the door down by any stretch of the imagination. And I thought we defended it really, really well. And as you said, we're winning headers that we should have been winning. We're getting blocks on things we should be getting blocks on, and we with that bit of desire. And not only that, when we broke, we slowed the game down. We got Tierney involved. We ran into corners. We stretched the game and made it hard for them to hit us again quickly. So, like, it was a brilliant performance all around. And you could see the kick the players got off it, and the stand got off it. It was a brilliant night, you know. But the big question is, can we follow it up now with another good performance on Friday night, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's fortunately that's the old tale of all this time, isn't it? You win those two games and you flip flop again. But I think Friday is, I know it feels like you probably say this every week, but I really, really do think Dundalk play Shells on Friday. Any result against Shells there and a win for Bowls would nearly we'd be out of sight of Shells in terms of a race for Europe. Like we're really counting down games now. I think there's probably what 13 or 14 games left in the season. As a stance, we're even Derry look like they're kind of out of sight now, and it looks like they're going to keep Tiernan Lynch anyway till after Europe. So you'd imagine that that's going to leave Down just that inconsistent form. So we've played 24 games, so we've got 12 games left. I think I'm right. Shells have 13. So a win on Friday will leave us on 43 points, and it will leave Shells on 31 or 32, depending on our result against Dundalk. Obviously, the cup could be won by anybody.
34 if they beat Dundalk.
34 to beat Dundalk. I know that's an easy that can flip if we don't win, but we have to go on up the draw the way the form they're in this all season. We have to go up there and beat them. So to get that, if we got 43 points and Shells even had 32, to have a 12-point lead over them with essentially 11 games to go or 12 games to go, it would be. Jeez, it'd be probably it'd be a bowl size, cap size, if it was to happen now. But they're nearly out of sight, out of mind in terms of the race for Europe. And I think we really, really have to make the most of this opportunity on this coming Friday.
Yeah, I think we have to win on Friday, because I suppose, the plan is that we're going to go a round or two in Europe. We'll have a couple of games rescheduled to the Sunday, which is not ideal. We'll probably our squad. You might have to flip the squad a little bit for those games. And just for the buzz of going into Europe, it'd be great to win Friday and absolutely bounce into the St. Joseph's match on the Thursday. So huge, huge game on Friday. But it's good that we're looking forward to it, instead of looking around with trepidation. And if we look after our business Friday and continue the momentum on from Pat's, Drogheda have probably plateaued a little bit in terms of what they're doing and overachieving. I just think they're having a funny season this year. They're probably not the Drogheda at all. So if we can go up there and get a win, it's it'd really keep the wheels in motion and keep us flying for Europe.
Yeah, absolutely. And a couple of things did happen in the last day or two. Obviously, Harry Vaughan has signed the contract to the end of the season. Slightly disappointing that was only to the end of the season. I thought it was a bit bizarre that a fella who, probably 4 weeks ago was nowhere near to getting a Bowes contract, and he would have been shuffling around club anywhere, and all of a sudden, for a good games, he's probably thinking, I'll get to the end of the season, get back over to England. Look, that's what he wants to do. That's what he wants to do. But we just have 5, 6 weeks, we probably weren't giving him a contract.
Yeah, so it's probably the lesser of two evils. It's one of those. It's almost like having a clause without having a clause. You're just giving him a 6 month contract, or what, a 5 month contract, whatever it is, till the end of the season, and then I suppose he's up for grabs again. So listen, it could work out for him. It could work out against him. If he goes and he shoots the lights out between now and the end of the season, he'll have his list of suitors. But if he has an indifferent end to the season, or he picks up an injury, or picks up a niggle, or doesn't perform, or falls out of the team for whatever reason, I might work against him. But listen, let's hope he's flying between now and the end of the season. He can propel us in Europe, and there's a few clubs queuing up for him at the end of the season from across the water.
Yeah, absolutely. He has been a bit of a tour of form. Probably just that 6 months bedding in period with the club, and the pitch is getting that bit better as well. And probably when he was told when Hull got promoted, he probably quite knew well there wasn't another going to be another contract coming down the line. So the stars probably lying for him to really put the head down and get into a bit of form. So probably earned the
Yeah.
contract, and it's great to see him and Pat Hickey were at the front of block B for the last 5 or 10 minutes.
They're not quite Block A separatists, but they're the next best thing, the Block B lads. So
Yeah,
we have them down in
apartheid
Block A. Yeah.
block A. But yeah, they seem
Think the
to enjoy
European
it.
football as well is huge for Vaughan. Like I think it would have been that little bit more difficult to sign him if we didn't have European football. So I'm sure that excites players, and I'm sure he's looking forward to playing in Europe. So that's
Yeah,
another advantage of having the European football, you know.
100. Pure football player. Don't get me wrong. Look, at the end of the day, it's all about money in the bank. At the end of your career and what you can make and how long you can get over. And you might not have to work a proper job again. But like, if he goes back to England during the summer, he'll never play in Europe again. Like the opportunity for him to get on the airplane and go somewhere, take on a team over a two-legged tie is gone. That's probably the pros of playing in the League of Ireland, is the fact that you get to experience that, which some of the best footballers in England will never experience that. Whether it be in
Unless
the
you sign
Premier
for
League.
Pats this year, you won't get to experience
No, they'll be down in Mountjoy, they'll keep you up as the inmates.
it.
We'll move on, Pete, to a couple of questions in from the beloved listeners of one of top. Start here from bottom to top here. Aidan Mann, do you think that Paul Waters is nailed on as a starter for the rest of the year? How many do you think he will travel to Gibraltar? I think Paul Walters probably starts as long. I'm not sure if this is a he makes 1 week and he's gone. I'm not sure if that's what we're waiting on here, but you get that second keeper gets his chance, and the second he makes one big blunder, he's gone. I'm not sure what you think, Pete.
Yeah, don't get the sense that he's dying to get Casper back into the team. I mean, the obvious one would have been firing him back in after the Derry game. It would have been, listen, he conceded 4 or 5 goals. We get Casper back in, but he looks good. Like he come and he's claiming crosses. You can see him barking at the defence. He's a good size for a goalkeeper. He's pulled off a couple of good saves. I don't think he's made too many mistakes. He looks okay with the ball at his feet. Probably not as Casper, but he's not a bomb scare, certainly when the ball goes back to him. But yeah, I don't get the feeling that there'd be any rush to get Casper back in the team. I suppose Europe is the big one. Does he put Casper back in on tomorrow week for the European game? That'll tell a tale. If he was ever going to put him back in, I suppose that'd be the one to put him back in for. But I don't get the feeling that he's doing a warm up waiting to get back in.
He has that bit of a Schmeichel presence about him, doesn't he? He has that unit size, even
He's a
when he
big
comes
lad.
out. He's a big lump,
Absolutely.
he's wide chested, he's
Yeah.
the ball hits him. It's not a case that he gets down to it, like he shortens the angles, and that's how he makes it up.
Save from Levy was brilliant the way he made himself big, as you said, Schmeichel-esque, almost just opening his body up and Levy couldn't get around him. I thought that was a certain goal. But so far so good with him, and no harm to have a change. And listen, we won't go down the Casper route again. We've done that, but keep everyone on their toes. No one be getting down on one knee for the rest of the season, please God.
On the second part of that question, how many think we'll travel to Gibraltar? I'd say it's around the 1,000 figure. I'd say a 2 or 3 nil win next Thursday, and one up top might be raffling off 2 tickets. And we'll catch us a bit of Medina after.
Yeah, I'd say it'd be minimum 1,000 anyway. It's playing strength in automobiles. Anyone who's has been waiting to go on this one. So I'd say we'll have to over there. We'll probably only get a real feeling for how many have travelled once we get over there, but I'd say minimum 1,000. I don't think too many people are, booking, and if they don't get a ticket, they're not travelling. I think people will be travelling tickets, without tickets, 2 tickets, 1 ticket, whatever the case may be, people will be travelling. I wouldn't mind getting an email from the club to let us know when we're actually going to be buying our tickets or in the reckon for tickets, but.
There was a bit of a giddy optimism about 700 tickets a couple of weeks ago. That seems to be nearly shot down. I think we're looking around the 500 mark, maybe a little bit more, but it's not. I don't think it's going to be the 700 as was rumoured. Obviously, I've taken away the 60 tickets, which I personally think was wrong, Pete, giving it to the chartered fans. Like when everyone had sort of made the piece, and I know you were probably not too happy with that yourself.
No, I don't agree with it. I don't agree with it. I think with such a small allocation, the tickets should be made available and should be a raffle. I don't think people should be incentivized for traveling with the club. I understand the club have an obligation to try and get a few bob in and try and, soften the blow in terms of of the travel arrangements, but I think there's enough money coming in from UEFA. And I don't think with such a small allocation, with such big numbers traveling, that people should be favoured just because they're traveling on club transport. I don't think it's right. I don't think it's right whether we're getting 1,000 tickets, 2,000, whatever the allocation is. I'd rather all the tickets were in the one pot and let everyone fight for them, and everyone's going in on an equal footing. But we'll try and keep it positive. I understand where the club are coming from. You know, they get it right most of the time, but I just think with this, it's the wrong thing to do.
Yeah, what's up to Shell's fan on Monday? He said that they were purchasing the home end and they were sort of just shoveled into the away end. Obviously, if your name is Pete's in it, Bowles biggest fan at gmail.com, you may be getting that ticket cancelled, but maybe set up a new Joseph Stubbin .co.uk and you might get away with that.
Yeah, I think there was an you had to have a Gibraltar BPSN number or something to buy online. Someone was saying, "Listen, hopefully it doesn't come down to that." But listen, hopefully, you know, one way or the other, the next couple of days, I'm sure the club are doing their best to secure as many as they possibly can. I've no doubt they are. But even an update to say, listen, we'll have them by Monday or Tuesday or next week. Not that people are dictating whether they're traveling based on a ticket or not. We're going one way or the other, but it'd be nice to know one way or the other.
Yeah, a couple of questions, a couple of people. Luke and Stereotypical Balls, man. Crowdfund for Paddy Madden's victory lap, and then can we hijack Afolabi to the Rovers? He will absolutely not be hijacking Afolabi to the Rovers. He's probably getting the go to 4 or 5 grand a week over on Tala, you'd imagine. Can we crowdfund for Paddy Madden's victory lap? This is one of those Georgie Kelly things that happens every year, and people just throw that name back in the hat. There's still many people who don't forgive him from Galway anyway, so.
Yeah, he's had a great career, but he's not what we're looking for now. Like, so that
Yeah.
ship has probably sailed with Paddy Madden. What age is he now?
It must be 33, 34 at least.
Yeah, I'm sure he's probably able to do a job, but no, I'm not overly keen on bringing players back. Georgie Kelly be a different story with the age profile, but Afolabi is certainly a worry. Going up there, I'm sure he'll get plenty of goals if they can get him right. That's the question. He hasn't played a lot of football since he's left. He's injury prone, but the league is probably a little bit more forgiving than it would be in Belgium or whatever. So I'm sure they can get him right and maybe manage his minutes and roll him out for the big games.
Yeah, Never Ending has asked if DJT is the answer, then what is the question? The question is if you could shoot one man into the sun via a cannon, who would it be? That'd be my question. After two good results with the best 11 playing, when we get too smart to make stupid changes like Todd at left back, Hickey suspended seems a strange time to send a centre half out on loan unless, and there's no party to that question. Hickey's on loan, Ocadina is gone, or Hickey's sorry, being sold or suspended. Ocadina gone, Lee Cavanagh is on loan with Galway. Do you think there's a possibility we bring another body in? We've gone from five centre backs to three. I don't think Lee Cavanagh is good enough. I don't think he has done anywhere near enough. I know everyone says there's a player in there. I haven't seen it, but I know fuck all about football. But Pete, would you be surprised to see a fourth centre back coming in this window?
Just on Kavanagh, like I'd still be hopeful around Kavanagh. Like he was very highly thought of in Brighton, came through their academy, plenty of experience there. He was on the bench in Europa League games, and you just don't prepare yourself to that level of football unless there's something there. And Dalymount play Park can be a hard place to play football, especially for young kids. And listen, I know there was a bit of back and forth and you have to be prepared to play under pressure, but I'd be a little bit more forgiving on Kavanagh. I'd like to see him at Galway, see how he gets on playing regular football, and maybe back for pre-season and see what he's all about. But I wouldn't give up hope on Kavanagh just yet. I've seen probably enough to suggest there's a player in there somewhere, you know. And I hope it works out for him. It didn't do Keane Byrne any harm. He's come back a much stronger player, so hopefully it'll have the same effect. In terms of centre halves, I'm presuming Hickey is suspended Friday, is he? Or he automatic one match?
With 2 yellow cards, it'd be a straight red, so you expect he'd just be out for driving. Not the end of the world to get a bit of a rest either. We should be going up the fucking driving, not having to worry about Patrick
Just
Hickey.
in for Europe, so who's going to slot in Friday?
Keane Byrne.
Ian Bourne, yeah. No worries there. Yeah. Happy days.
The next one is transfer
You have
window
Flowers there.
3
Flowers can Flowers, sorry, Jordan. Flowers can slot in there as well, you know, if needs be as well. Burke can play
Yeah.
there as well. Listen, it depends on what's in
Send him
the
Mullen
bag of
is
money.
technically a send him Mullen is technically a centre back.
Sellum Mullen can play there as well. So it depends on what the bag of money is like. If it's a case we need we can get someone in up top and maybe forsake a defender. That'd be my mindset that we're gonna try and get a centre forward in as opposed to another centre half, you know, because again, as you said there, you can shake it up. Mullen can play there, Flowers can play there, Keane Byrne can come in there. So well, for 13 games we're probably okay there, you would imagine.
Transfer window 3 out and 3 in. Probably have the 2 out that well, you wanted to go. Lee Kavanagh didn't get a kick. I think he might have played 30 minutes this season. Okadine obviously didn't kick a ball. So there's. So I don't know. I don't think there's too bad. If you ask me who the other one is, I'd get rid of DJT right now. If you got another 2 strikers that would come in, and you know they do a job, which is you never know until they do it. We'll be happy. I'm completely happy to cut me loss with DJT. Obviously, Reynolds
Isn't
come out and
it just amazing that we've been so lucky with Colin Whelan and his fitness? Like, you know, given his track record over the last couple of years, that he's been so robust this year. And I know he's been in and out of the team with DJT when he's been fit, but God, most other seasons, Whelan has had really bad luck with injuries, and he's been available for, you know, whenever needed this year, which is great, and long may that continue. And he's up there with the top goal scorers in the league as well. So, you know, it's we're blessed that we have Whelan. I know he's not everyone's cup of tea, but he's stepped up when others have been missing. So, good man, Collie Whelan.
yeah, so in we probably can't tell until who come in from where. The war encyclopedia of football does not extend to whatever Pat Fennin is looking at across the Europe or across the UK. Ross McKiernan probably covered on previous episode, but not liking the comments from Rennie post Pat's two incredible results off the back of two very poor games. Instead of rallying the troops and praising the fans, he takes a bit of a pop. The man is a bit of an idiot. Like, I just can't get my head around why he can't just do a simple interview. I know sometimes you look for a bit of personality in managers, and it's all tick box answers, and you're kind of like, oh, you want something to come out, but like the fact they just can't not give us something and then back it up with not saying anything that will antagonize us.
Just putting pressure on himself again and putting pressure on the team. I don't understand the mindset. Like, you know, a little bit of a you know, a two fingers to the supporters again. We're probably used to it at this stage. It probably came from Reynolds, truth be told. But yeah, that's the danger with this team, and that's why we're probably win 2 games, we lose 2 games, we win 2 games, we lose 3 games, because they just get ahead of themselves. We've had 2 great wins, but now is the time to really ramp it up, instead of, you know, getting the cigar out and saying, well, the supporters don't know what they're talking about, the media don't know what they're talking about. People say things and people make these assumptions based on the performances on the pitch. Nothing more, nothing less. It's not personal. We want the winning team. There's no need for it. But listen, if they're winning games, they can say what they fucking want about us. They can say what they want about it. You know, any man, woman, and child, if they're winning games. So let's see, can Rossi understand football now on Friday night up in Drogheda, and see how, you know, can he analyse Drogheda and do everything he's saying on Friday night, because he just put pressure on himself, you know.
Yeah, he really doesn't help himself in them terms. Yeah, as you
And I
said, like
like
it
Rossi,
took me.
don't get me wrong. Like, I love Rossi's work rate. I love him as a player. I love everything about Rossi, but no need to be picking on supporters and trying to snap back at supporters, because, you know, supporters ultimately will be there long term, and they'll be behind you when you need it. So just no need for it.
Yeah, I am. Sure, I can't say if you go to heaven, will you be allowed in? No, adultery and gluttony. St. Peter will send me straight down the hole, back down. Do you know what? If I go up to heaven, he'll just send me back down to sport balls for another 60 years. That's exactly what would happen.
Don't worry, we'll be in heaven in Bela Medina now next Wednesday evening now, with a
Yeah,
few pints on
well,
board, watching the World Cup, getting ready for a
look,
trip to
no,
Gibraltar. That's my heaven.
yeah. Trevor's asked a question there. I'm sure me and his young fellow Nate will be tucking him into bed by about 10 or 11 o'clock, and I'll bring his young fellow and turn that boy into a man. That's all I have to say. Tom Donnelly has asked about allocations. I think we've answered that. Dave McSherry, will the top be drawer? Will you keep be keeping the top drawer locked or locked at all times? This actually relating to a good friend of mine. Sir Aaron Shaw got married the weekend. Pete, he another man who signed off his life. Signed off his life to a lady, lovely lady now, in fairness, now Miss Megan Shaw now at this stage. So congratulations, Ozzy, a fantastic day. It's one of the best
Well
Saturdays
done,
I've had in a
Charles.
long, long
Yeah,
time.
Enoch Burke is free and Charles in jail. So that's the
Yeah, and the comment in relation to the behaviours of Conor O'Hanlon at 5 in the morning, who misplaced the top drawer for a toilet. But however, Conor O'Hanlon, Pete, would you believe this? I forgot to call him out last time. He will not be going to Europe on the basis that back in February he was told he could not get the time off. A single, no, he's not single. A 25-year-old man could not get the time off, as he was told back in February. He told us.
just shaking my head furiously here. I know someone else who's booked a family holiday. It's nearly time to start naming and shaming people on this podcast as well. Like we've had this in the calendar for a long, long
Yeah.
time, and there's still excuses coming out.
Olin, I was playing football, he booked his family holiday. As if you haven't known this has been coming. David Connolly, if one was in a betting club and he got this, all getting very personal attacks now at this stage, he got 200 quid, all his best in football. How much would you expect a football expert to win? Well, Dave said, thankfully I'm not a football expert, so but I've never claimed it.
You might look like one, but you're not one.
And so I certainly don't look like a footballer anyway, that's for sure. I look a bit like, you know, I look a bit like the post-retired Maradona.
Dave Jeffries were here.
Yeah. Branner Fitz, what is our win record the very next game after a podcast? Believe it or not, I think all football fans be. I think we're all a bit superstitious in terms of what we do, and I am anyway. I made it down to Galway. I didn't get to the game. Just happened to forget myself, and we won the match. And that was after we beat Dundalk as well. So I said to myself, "Jesus, it's still what I haven't gone to." So I said, "I won't go to Sligo," because that's genuinely how sometimes what my brain can work. And I think a lot of
Yeah.
football fans can be superstitious if we don't go. So yeah, I'd love to see our record after the game, after a podcast. Now there probably is a couple of them. I know there is definitely one or two that listen in, but
I think
yeah.
the after the ill-fated rant with Silker, we went on the best run of the Rennie reign so far. So there's probably something in that.
Yeah, also you get when you gave your by hook by come hell or high water, you come back from Dundalk with your 3 points
That's
this
right. We
year.
came back from the dark of the win. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe there's a bit, maybe it just has to get low enough to for us to fucking drag it back up a little bit. Greg Malloy, the move to Richmond Park, is it the lazy option? After years of restricted attendance, we finally get the opportunity to grow a sport base, but we choose a ground that only holds 1,000 extra punters and even less covered seating than Daly Mount. I do think there's an opportunity to grow. That opportunity is not an Inchicore. I don't know where that opportunity lies. I would have suspected maybe Santry, maybe the RDS. Probably unaffordable. Definitely un. What's the word for Pete where something is un? It's not lustful for us to go anywhere, really. Shelbourne, Falkirk Park probably would have been the best of a bad bunch. Unfortunately, that can't happen with the ladies' games. So essentially, we're just it's Richmond and then meandering with the RDS for the big games. I think it's the best that we could have done. The lazy option, I don't think there was many other options.
No, I think the club's hands are tied here, to be honest with you. Like the Chelsea thing was never going to happen, even without the women's teams. I don't think they were ready to do business with us or wanted to do business with us. They think we tried to force them into the ground over the original Daily Mount deal. So listen, they have their own agenda down there, and you wouldn't want to be relying on them for anything, regardless. But beyond Talca, you're not going to go to Talla. Ray would have been ideal for some of us, but no, that was never going to happen either. So you're left with Richmond. Yeah, like listen, I don't mind going to Richmond, but I don't mind going to Richmond twice a year, like going there 15 times a year or whatever the case may be. It could be a different story, but I don't know whether there'll be initiatives to maybe run buses from Phibsborough, or because it's going to be difficult for people getting across the city to Richmond Park on a Friday evening. I don't know whether kickoff times could possibly be changed to maybe a bit more family friendly or more travel friendly for people that may have to travel. So it's probably something they're going to have to look at. But I mean, the club haven't even confirmed it. I know it's been mooted in the papers and so on, but until the club actually confirmed this is the plan, I suppose.
Yes,
I'm not quite
I
sure.
even thought, Pete, you know, if RDS was our home, I know there's a large Bohemian contingent in like the likes of Navan and Meath. There's a huge Bolt fan base in Meath. Like, probably takes them 45 minutes maybe to get from Meath to this the first place. This is one of the first point the contacts in Dublin just after Blanche, more or less.
Yeah.
But you'd spend just as long in a car probably getting from Fisbury to the RDS than you would from Meath into Dublin,
Yeah,
like
it's only
a rush
45
hour
minutes and half
clock.
an hour anyway. Yeah.
So you
Yeah, I don't know
know.
what the kickoff times can be looked at. But we'll see. I suppose we wait for the official confirmation. Listen, it's I'd like it to be sorted sooner rather than later. And even from a football point of view, I'm sure Reynolds is anxious to know, where are we going to be playing out of. From a sporting point of view, then as well, if Richmond is your home, do you really want to be uprooting then and going to the RDS for some games? You're really losing home advantage then for the season. But I don't know; it's a difficult one for the club. But I'm sure we'll be
I think
advised
you have to
in
get into the
due
F. I think you have to
course.
get into the FEI's ear once and do it again. First home game of the season against maybe Shells or Rovers in the RDS. Get that 20,000 capacity. Get that money in the bank. That's essentially 4 home gates in one. I think that's what we have to aim for that first game. I think that all. I'm no genius. The club has done this before, and I expect that to happen next season. Alfie Hopkins, how much time has Reynolds bought with those two derby wins? He has bought a lot of time in this podcast, but Reynolds is going nowhere anytime soon, be.
No, it's a good question as well, because we all know that derby wins aren't just 3 points. They can change the mood, and they can plummet the mood. So, you might only get 3 points on the table for it, but you'll get a lot of goodwill. If you're going to go out and beat Pats and beat Shells in a week, as I said, you can flip the mood, and you can flip the mood of the club with two of those wins. So, I get the gist of the question there. Yeah, he's probably embedded himself there more than he should do after just 2 wins.
Could Walters match everyone? Could Walters be in a permanently realistic possibility? Depends on his. Casper is out of contract at the end of the season. If Walters stays in, he certainly won't be signing one. We could be on the hunt for a new keeper, new four starter. Depends what the situation is with Walters at the end of the season. And Casper obviously looked, there's a lot of footballs to be kicked in between now and then. God knows what's going to happen. Oisin McLaughlin, any word on what's happening with Casper or Myers? Myers is getting a few minutes here and there. Some can't get my head around it. He's evidently had a falling out with Reynolds. There's no two ways about it. Paddy Madden comment again. Shanks are always slow for a podcast, and Rennie is cooking. It's a club, yes, man. Sorry, an official club employee having a go at the unofficial club podcast.
At
Yeah,
least we
so
know
I'll
the club
probably be
thinking of us
reporting that
now,
back to
anyway,
Jimmy Deegan, I'm sure.
Yeah,
Yeah,
we know
that's
the club
exactly an
thinking
employee
us.
coming to make him those comments on
He won't be getting
there. Yeah, so that's the.
interviewed at the European party on Wednesday night live from Bella Medina.
No, sure. He'll probably be on the club express. He'll be staying in the hotel.
Oh
He'll be
yeah,
sharing a bed with Pat Finnan anyway.
with his ticket in his pocket.
They're doing heads and tails. Yeah, taking. He'll be in the home end. Shanks will be in the home end in the corporate box. He'll have his. It won't be prawn sandwiches over there. It'll be pigs and blankets for the Gibraltons.
Well, just make sure Shanks, he has the stereotypical Irish man, has plenty of sun cream on him over there,
Yeah, he's melting the sun. He will melt in the sun. So that's all the questions wrapped up this week. P. European football is on the horizon.
Yeah.
It's really,
Full
really
steam
exciting,
ahead.
isn't it?
Very exciting. It's like we're gearing up for a cup final or something, only it's overseas. Yeah, I can't wait. Really, really can't wait. We're looking forward to it for a long time. I think everyone's looking forward to it. So I think next week we'll have to have a pre-European bonanza special, a few European tales told and so on.
Yeah, I'll have to try rev up a few great guests. It wasn't even going to be a podcast this week. It was a just very drunken weekend. It was too late finishes and trying to meander to get someone on. I do have a couple of ex-players lined up now over the next few weeks, but we'll see if we get a few stories on the way for a few European tales next week. I'll
Well,
round up
yeah,
a couple of three.
we'll have a look around for a European veteran, an off the field veteran as opposed to on the field veteran, and then maybe mid campaign we might get an on the field veteran in.
Yeah, so we'll have that out Tuesday, Pete. Back for your Wednesday to Friday, aren't
Wednesday to Friday, yeah, absolutely.
I think I'm Tuesday to Friday, but I think I'll go to Milan Friday, Saturday, maybe back Sunday. Off to go see Bad Bunny, so I think I'm gonna have to try find. get on to Daniel Lambert and see has he got any contacts in Milan for a couple of tickets. I'll just have to ask him, unfortunately. Hard to
Johnny
get
Annan
by.
knows a few shop owners over there. He might be able to put you in touch with someone.
Jesus, yeah, I suppose Giorgio Armani, God rest his soul. Well,
He'd be
yeah,
looking
looking
down on us
forward.
for Europe, he will.
Yeah, we're looking forward to this week, P. Trot it away. Massive 3 points, badly needed.
Up there, and as I said, just carrying on from last week. Game up there at the start of the season was a poor game. So get up there, get the wind on, and as I said, we'll put our skates on for next Thursday. We're in the monostand next Thursday, aren't we?
We are in the monostand. I'm in the monostand next Thursday. Yeah, looking forward to it. There'll be a bit of European. It's hard to get just talk about the league now at this stage when we're just a week off, aren't we? It's almost if now the players shouldn't be thinking like this, but me and you can most certainly think like this.
We're allowed, yeah.
I bought a few microphones. We were going to have a bit of international content. Hopefully, a couple of vlogs and a couple of live podcasts.
Couple of vox pops, is that what they call them? You know, things on RTE.
Yeah, Vox Pops now. They most certainly. I suspect they got missed at some stage on the trip. Anyway,
Yeah.
if they don't, they'll be disappointed. But
I'll do a couple of interviews from Shannon Airport at half
hopefully,
four on Wednesday
half
morning.
four in the
Sure, the
morning.
lads be in great form.
What time is that bus leaving at?
I think we're hitting the road around 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock in the
Sel
morning.
sel
That'll be.
seltzer in hand, Bose flag in the other.
Yeah, that'll
Skull
be a
Island, cap
get your
on the
CS.
houses for the sun.
Get your siesta in between 4 and 6 and get out for the World Cup semi-final.
Now you have it. Now you have it.
Again, we'll look forward to that. I know me and we are looking at the planes, trains, and automobiles to get into Kosovo. It's going to be a hard feat that one, but we'll find a way somehow,
We
some way.
will. We will. Yeah, that's we could end up in Colwyn Bay yet, you never know. So one or
That
the
would
other
save
anyway.
the world of heartbreaking in a world of bank balances now. We could do a little. A boat day
It's
trip.
this, yeah. It's obviously the easiest European trip to get to is Colwyn Bay, as opposed to, I won't say the most difficult, but one of the more difficult ones to get to on a couple of weeks' notice. So, yeah, Colwyn Bay might be no harm if we're gonna progress in it and have another couple of rounds, you know.
Absolutely, yeah. Please God, we will be there. We'll get to give you a prediction because I don't think our minds are anywhere else but Europe, unfortunately. Try
Well,
to
we're going to
away this
watch a bit of the
Monday
World
team.
Cup.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, listen, I think we'll have too much for Drogheda on Friday. I think a little bit of this thing has gone out of Drogheda. Listen, I never predict Bowls are going to do anything other than win on this podcast, so I'm not going to change. So listen, I'll take 2-0 Bowls, another clean sheet, even without Hickey at the back. 2-0, Tierney to score and shush the fans, and away we go to Europe.
Yeah, I'm gonna go 2-0. Never that easy, never has been that easy, never will be that easy, and I probably won't end up that way. But I think 2-0 Bowls set our way onto Europe. Hopefully Dundalk and Shells draw. That would kind of put Shells out of sight. I know Pats have to play Dundalk in the game in hand while we're away in our Hull of Ops, so someone's gonna drop points there somewhere. So a
Yeah.
win Friday, Shells not winning, and Bohemian FC will be getting giddy this time next year as well. Please God. So yeah, 2-0, Pete. This
2-0.
was the second last podcast, the penultimate podcast before the big European tour, and just restless nights ahead now, waiting on it.
Yeah. I just hope everyone else is as excited as we are for Europe. Judging by the WhatsApp groups and chatting to people, I think everyone is, but yeah, if we're giddy now, what are we going to be like this time 2 weeks or this time next week, even before the first game? But yeah, a bit of business to be done on Friday, first of all. So let's hope we can get the job done and bounce into Europe.
Yep, and as we do always, EP, come on, the fucking balls.
Come on, the fucking balls.